Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Children with sensory disabilities have a harder time this holiday season than you might think. The Children's Museum of South Dakota in Brookings is holding sensory-friendly play on Sunday, December 16th. That runs from 10 until noon local time. This low-sensory playtime offers a calm, less crowded opportunity for exploration in the museum's exhibits. Joining us today, we have Carrie Benson. She is the Director of Education at the museum. Carrie, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also with us in the SDPB Sioux Falls studio, we have Dr. Carrie Kippis. She's in Developmental and Behavioral Health Pediatrics at Sanford Health. Dr. Kippis, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Let's start with you, Carrie, and tell us a little bit about the event that you're having first and sort of, where the idea came from for the Children's Museum.
Sure. Well, the Children's Museum has been doing sensory-friendly play events for around 3 years now. And they initially started just because it aligns well with our mission of supporting play for all children with any type of ability. And there's definitely a need in this area. When we first started the events, families started traveling from a 2 to 3 hour radius to come to these events. So we knew that there was a need regionally to offer things for the families. And we just, above all, wanted a place where families who have children experiencing disabilities can come and just focus on being together as a family.
Tell me how it's different than any other play day at the museum as far as, you know, sort of the sensory experience of the museum. And the museum itself, for people who don't know, you can kind of create your own experience there. I found, you know, when my daughter was younger, you could kind of pick your time and pick your sort of how you'd sort of navigate, you know, your experience. But tell me how this play day, you know, what is it like that sort of sets it apart?
Above all, for the sensory-friendly events, it's quieter. There's just less people in the museum because that tends to be what overstimulates guests who might have a sensory processing challenge. So it's less crowded. We don't let any more than 100 guests come in. We have designated quiet areas, so if a child is overstimulated and needs a moment to have like a calming area, we have that available for them. We have adaptive tools and equipment. We invite service pets in. They're welcome to come in and play too. So we're just trying to adapt and accommodate for what the families need, but above all, just give them a quieter chance to be together as a family.
Dr. Kippis, talk a little bit about what kind of, you know, what exactly is, you know, a sensory processing challenge? Like what kinds of kids are we talking about? What are the issues that they're dealing with and their families are dealing with it?
Right. That can be, a broad range. A lot of times children within the autism spectrum of disorders can struggle with sensory differences where their ears are much more sensitive to sounds than other children or sensitive to lights or just feeling overwhelmed when there's a lot of people or a lot of stimuli in their environment. So having opportunities to participate in activities that other maybe more neurotypical children would be able to enjoy without it being so overwhelming to them would just allow them to have these experiences that otherwise these families would have to skip out on, which is a really cool thing. It's not just children on the autism spectrum, though. It would be a variety of other developmental disabilities or differences where you can find these sensory differences. Even children who happen to have ADHD or attention deficit disorder can struggle with sensory differences too.
Carrie Benson, tell me a little bit about some of the feedback that you've had from parents and families about these kinds of events.
We've gotten just wonderful positive feedback. Families have said how grateful they are to have a space that they can bring their child where they know they're safe, they know they can play. We've heard a lot from families just how nice it is not to feel judged to come into an environment where they're welcome completely as the family they are. And just the time the children come in and they usually announce that it's their day, so the kids that come know that it's a special time for them to enjoy just being a child and being with their families.
Carrie Kippis, I remember when my daughter, who's 17 now, was a little shaver, and she was scared of all Halloween decor. You know, anything that was ghostly or just, you know, ghastly, gruesome looking. And I remember as a parent taking her even into the grocery store and thinking, really, I have to deal with this here too, and figuring out how to sort of navigate. So talk a little bit, if you will, you know, for parents with kids with some of these, you know, conditions or issues or confronted with the holiday season, you know, how do you deal with it as a parent in the rest of the world? You know, seek out these experiences, but then what?
Right. And I think that's the hard thing. So with the holiday season, you're right, that's there's so much more, you know, lights and glitter and tinsel and everything everywhere. And so that can be very exciting and maybe even overwhelming. There's some families that just say, we just don't go out. And during certain, you know, if, especially if it's going to be busy, some families say, well, you know, if we go and we have our soundproof or we have our headphones on our child, then they're able to tolerate this environment a lot better. Or they have some sort of a transitional object, something that provides them comfort. That can be something that helps them in that situation. It's the hard thing is it's so individual for each child. And so One trick that might work for this kid might not work for that kid. So, you know, a lot of families are kind of having to come up with their own system of how to help their child be able to tolerate that environment.
And talk a little bit about this notion of judgment, because I am also thinking of all these stories from when my daughter was little and there was a moose in a mascot in the grocery store and started walking to, you know, I see a kid, I'm going to come walking. And she just looked at him and she said, no, no, no. And you could just tell she was expressing like, get that thing away from me. She was terrified of it.
Right.
But somebody else would say, oh, this is fun. Go see the moose. So people are going to judge you if you turn and walk away for something. Now, my daughter didn't have a diagnosed sensory issue. That was just something she was processing as a neurotypical kid.
Right.
But for people who are dealing with, you know, they know this child, they've been to their doctor, they understand the situation, but yet everybody else thinks it's fun. Right. Just throw your kid in there and have a good time. How do you sort of deal with this notion of judgment and other people's perspective and expectations of how your kid should feel about the holidays?
I think there's a lot of different approaches that families will use. I hear from families that I work with that even in their own family gatherings that they'll feel maybe judged by other family members, let alone if they're in the grocery store and their child has a tantrum, feeling judged by others. I think one of the challenges is not all children who have developmental disabilities look like a child who has some sort of a developmental disability. You can't necessarily see it just by looking at the child. And so having some, as I guess members of the community, having some compassion. I have families that have chosen to hand out business cards. So if their child is having a meltdown in the store, they'll say, hand out this business card that says, you know, please excuse us, my child has an autism spectrum disorder, and we're just trying to cope, or we're just trying to deal, and give us our space. It's really challenging aspect of just trying to be in the community for many families who have children with special needs.
Right. More and more community members having, you know, let's say there's another business who's listening today and they say, well, I want to create something that's welcoming. How can they find the resources and the education, Dr. Kippis, into how to create? And maybe Carrie, we can ask you as well. How did you sort of find out what were the resources to find out what does this kind of play day need to look like? Carrie Benson, let's start with you on that.
Sure. One thing that we did very intentionally was we did a survey of the families that visit us. We also did research, just reading articles and reaching out to specialists to learn and other museums who have already developed programs of what they're offering, and that kind of helped us develop our adaptive equipment. And then just to get to know our families that come to see us more, we did a special survey of what times are best for your children, what do you get out of the event, and what can we do to ensure that you guys are having the best experience possible. So,
Dr. Kippis, other thoughts that you would like to add to that as far as how do you create, or maybe even talk to the families who you know, have, you know, I have nieces and nephews that are on the autism spectrum disorder. How do I, as an aunt, you know, become a really good aunt for these kids? You know, I don't even know what to buy them for the holidays if I'm going to buy them a present. How do I move forward?
Right. I think, you know, just I like the fact that Carrie was talking about they got survey information back from families who are living this with their children, having that information, talking to that family member. What's the best way for me to interact with my niece or nephew? I think there's other resources online. There's, you know, you can look at places like the CDC's website about autism as very good information. Autism Speaks is another organization where you can find out a lot of good information about sensory information. And I think just being able to be there and accept, well, if there's a negative behavior, there's usually a function to that behavior. So something's been upsetting to this child, and that's why they're upset. And, okay, well, how can we fix this? Can we give them something that's comforting or change the environment in some way so that they are able to settle down or feel more comfortable?
Dr. Kippis, this is also the time I know somebody's probably listening saying, I'm noticing some of these things in my child. What should I be looking for? How do I know if it's just, a reaction to a mascot or a reaction to Santa Claus? And when do I know it's something I should talk to a provider about? What are some of the signs that parents are looking for that say it's time to do a little bit more than just, go this road ourselves?
I think anything that's really impacting that ability to function across multiple environments, the mascot phobia or the fear that you right. describe is super common
right.
for lots of kids, my own child, But if we're really struggling to be able to function at school, at home, in the community, and it's really getting in the way of them being able to be a kid, then that to me is an indicator that we need to do a little further evaluation of what's going on here.
Yeah, pay attention, take some notes, talk to your pediatrician, do some research online.
Absolutely.
All right, get smart, which these families who are dealing with, these issues long-term probably have already done and could be their own experts here today.
Absolutely.
The Children's Museum of South Dakota in Brookings, Sensory Friendly Play Day is Sunday, December 16th. That's from 10 to noon. It's a low sensory playtime offering a calm and less crowded opportunity for exploring the museum's exhibits. Carrie Benson, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for the good work you do at the Children's Museum. Still one of my favorite places in South Dakota.
All right, thank you. And this coming event, I was going to mention quickly, this next one on December 16th will be featuring Santa.
Nice.
So every child that comes will get private time, just them and their family,
yeah.
To hopefully find a chance to get their wish list to Santa.
A little one-on-one time for your wish list.
Yes.
And I think some toys and things in the gift shop as well.
We'll have our Play Central toys and books will be open, and we feature a whole line of sensory-friendly toys. So any toys purchased that day, members get 10% off, and we will do free gift wrapping as well.
All right. Carrie Benson, Dr. Carrie Kippis,
right.
thank you so much for being here.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.